Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back joining me today as we continue this week where we're diving into the readings from the Mass together, the readings from the Mass of each day, saying what is the Spirit saying to us through the church and through the scriptures. And so yesterday we went into the Psalm 121, about how God guards us and protects us. And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to let God guard me because sometimes I have this lack of trust, like, is he really going to do the best job, or am I still going to be safe, or all this kind of stuff. And the Lord wants to purify us of those places of mistrust where we feel like he's not going to take care of us. He wants to purify us. And so we want to let him guard us. Even today, as we come into this word, say, Lord, go before us, be our help, be our guardian, be the one that we rely on. And then we were in the Beatitudes, and we're going to continue today, not in the Beatitudes, but in Matthew 5. And we'll see how this happens in the Gospels, even over the course of a week, how we're in one book. We're in Matthew 5, and we're going and we're hearing what the church is saying to us. So yesterday, the church, through this reading, through this gospel, is saying, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. These are the people of God that God is building. This is who the Holy Spirit helps you to be. Not who you already are, not like, oh, you have to have this raw material, but this is the people of God that God wants to form through the outpouring of the Spirit that he gave us at Pentecost. And so God's saying, this is the type of people that are kingdom people, that are heavenly people. They're poor in spirit, they're humble, they're meek. And I need the Spirit to help me with this. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. Because if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I can't be meek. I can't be humble. And so even again today, as we enter into the reading, the kind of the daily bread that the church gives us, we're saying, Lord, how are you making me into a kingdom person? How are you making me heavenly minded? How are you pouring your Spirit out on me as I listen to this word to be able to become who you're desiring me to be? Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. And we're actually going to dive into the first reading today because it's a beautiful story about Elijah and the widow. And we're going to dive into the Lord really providing for us. So let's go ahead and pray and let's see what the word of God has for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you truly are our guardian, our protector, our help. We lean into you today. Be our help, be our safeguard. Let us find our refuge in you. And Lord, as we read these words, as we read your word, let the Holy Spirit go before and open the places of our hearts, not just that where we need to hear, but where we need to be transformed. Show us where we need to be transformed and allow that to land on our hearts in a way that's soft, but in a way that's convicting, that we can hear it and we can step into what you desire for each and every one of us, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not for the future, but for today. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to be in the first reading and the gospel today because they're both fire. They're both so rich. So we're going to be in 1 Kings in a little context. This is following Elijah, and Elijah's kind of, he's been a little bit in a desolate place. Like, he's like, basically like, Lord, you're abandoning me. People are following me. They're trying to kill me. And this is what I get for being your prophet. And so the Lord is leading Elijah as he's hiding from the people who are trying to kill him. So this is 1 Kings 17, starting in verse 7. The brook near where Elijah was hiding ran dry because no rain had fallen in the land. So the Lord said to Elijah, move to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have designated a widow there to provide for you. And he left there and went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, please bring me a small cup full of water to drink. She left to get it, and he called out after her, please bring along a bit of bread. She answered, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and only a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and Elijah and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. I love this story. There's so many things going on. And at first blush, when you read it, you're like, okay, Elijah, like, so he's hiding, and it says that the brook where he was hiding ran dry. So he had no water. He had no food. And the Lord's telling him, okay, I have this widow for you to stay with. So he has this divine direction. So he's walking in faith to find this widow, but he sees the widow and then he's like, please, can I have a bit of bread? And there's this interesting interchange, because what the widow is expressing is, I don't have enough. I don't even think I have enough for myself. She's like, I only have a little flour. I only have a little oil. From what I can see, there's not even going to be enough for me and my son. And I'm so also discouraged about what I have. I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to give for my son. I have nothing to give for me. So we're going to cook what little we have, and then we're going to die. Because this is the state that we're in. This is the state that we're in. And it's interesting. I feel like in that case, I would kind of, as Elijah, because one, we're looking at both the faith of the woman, and we're also looking at Elijah. At Elijah, I'd be like, okay, Lord, I think you picked the wrong widow. Like, she clearly doesn't have enough for me, and she also doesn't have enough for her, so I'm going to go find someone else. You know, I'd be like, okay, sorry to bother you. I'm so sorry. I don't want to take your last flour for your last cake. But Elijah's like, no, this is the widow that the Lord told me. So what does he say? He says, do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. And he says, first make me a cake and bring it to me. So he says, first use your flour on me. That's pretty bold of Elijah. You know, he's so sure that what God is telling him. He's like, okay, you only have enough flour for one cake. So make a cake and bring it to me. Sound good? Good. And so he says, go and do as you propose. But first make me a little cake, then prepare something for yourself and your son. And if I was the woman, I would be afraid. I'd be like, there's no way. I'm already afraid I'm not going to have enough. And I don't know about you. Maybe you've been in a situation where you're like, I'm not going to have enough. I think we do this a lot, even with our energy or our time or what we have to give. I was like this the other day. I was saying to a friend, I was like, I just don't have any more in me. I just don't have any more in me. I just don't have any more in me. I'm run down with this situation. I don't have any more to give. I don't have any more patience. I don't have any more charity. I can't. I need to protect myself, all this kind of stuff. And these are the times, friends, when the Lord calls us to lean into his promise. Because again, it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. Is he our help or not? Is he our guardian or not? Because if he's the guardian, if he's the protector, if he's the provider, we don't worry about if we have enough. Because he has enough. And so here he goes making this promise. He says, the Lord, your God of Israel, says, the jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And so she left. She holds on to this promise. And she says, the Lord said, there will be enough for me. So I'm going to walk in obedience, even if I don't feel like I have enough. And so she says, she did as Elijah said. She trusted in the Lord. And what happened? She had more than enough for a year. I love the end of this reading. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. So this thing that she was so scared was going to happen, the thing where she said, Lord, I'm not going to have enough for provision. He said, let me be your provider. And she trusted in that. She trusted in his provision. And there was enough. And so I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage myself, friends, to say, what are the areas that, again, that I'm guarding myself, but also that I'm providing for myself, that I think if I trust the Lord's provision here, it will run out. That if I do as the Lord's asking me, I won't have enough. Maybe it's taking on, you know, that friendship that you think you don't have enough energy for. Maybe it's volunteering for that thing that the Lord's been telling you to do that you're like, no. Maybe it's extending your prayer time that you're like, I definitely don't have time for this. Whatever it is, where is that place where the Lord's asking you to trust his provision? Now, very quickly, this is a short gospel. We're continuing on in Matthew 5. Jesus said, starting in verse 13, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." So Jesus, he's saying here, he's continuing on. This, remember, this is building off of the Beatitudes. He's saying, I'm making a kingdom person. I'm transforming you in the power of my Spirit. And those people, heavenly people, kingdom people, they're witnesses. They're salty, right? Actually, I am addicted to putting salt on my food, truly. Like, I think it's a family thing of mine. Like, I go to some of my friends' houses and they put the salt out for me because they know that I'll need it saltier. Probably eventually when I go to have my cholesterol checked, it's going to be like through the roof. But I always salt food before I taste it. I never think things are salty enough. But it's like this image of saying when you bite into food and it has no flavor, when it's not salty, you're like, it has no taste. You're like, I don't want to eat this. Or the city, it's like you're the light of the world. A light is meant to be seen. A light shines under the darkness. And so Jesus is saying, I've put this light into your heart. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I'm transforming you. And my light shines out of you. But if you put it under a bushel basket, if you hide it away, if you don't take it out into the world, what good is the light? He said the light is set on a lampstand. Before, he's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the pure of heart, all those things, because they go out, and the pure of heart, their purity shines out. That this person that God is making you into be, not for your own pride, not to say, look how good I am. And I think sometimes in false humility, we do that. We're like, oh, I don't want to be in the lampstand because I don't want to be like, look how good I am, yada, yada, yada. No. He's saying, you are the light of the world, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you go out into your job, when you go out into the street, when you go out into the world, you are carrying the light of the world. The light shines through you. The saltiness comes in you. It's not just like people are going to walk out and get struck by lightning and they'll be like, God is real. You are the light. And God is saying, what ways in your life are you hiding? He's saying this to the followers, his followers on the mountain. Where are you hiding? Where are you hiding the light that I've given you? Your light must shine before others. How is Jesus shining through you? How are you keeping your saltiness? I encourage you today as we wrap up this time to read this Matthew 5 passage again and to even take it. Sometimes our hiding, notice in the beginning of the passage, Elijah was hiding because he was afraid. But when he stepped out to do what God was asking him to be a light, this woman's life was changed. Where are you hiding and where is God asking you to step out to actually be his light in the world? So go ahead and take those two questions to prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.